Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Grinding away down in Spartanburg, South Carolina. That's our man, Sal Capaccio. He is on the West Her Hotline now with me. Hi, I'm the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off today. Actually got the rest of the week off. Coverage of Bills training camp, by the way, which is what this still is presented by M&T Bank, the official bank of the Buffalo Bills, and brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by New York's only outlet liquor when you need to stock up. It's the place to buy a case. Sal, good afternoon. How are you, my man?
Pretty good, Bulldog. It actually is the last official day of training camp today. This is counted as training camp, and then when the team is back in Buffalo, it's back in Buffalo. That's where they'll be, and it's also the last official day of training camp for the Carolina Panthers, not only this year, but they're moving their training facility. They will not be here at Wofford starting next year, actually. They're moving to Rock Hill, South Carolina in 2 years, and I believe next year is a transition year back at their facility.
All right. So, but they're going to continue to be away from their facility eventually for training camp. They're not another
one. Yeah, Rock Hill is they're starting there in 2 years. Mm-hmm. So they're going to go over there, but I guess, and they said, from what I heard, you know, they could actually go there next year if things come together quick enough, but they're not really sure if that's going to happen.
Right. Well, Sal, I know you've been busy all afternoon, so you haven't had a chance to just be sitting by your app listening to the show, but it's been pretty much wall-to-wall Jadeveon Clowney so far today. Okay. But what are your thoughts on A, this player, his availability, his fit with the Bills, and, like, what would be a reasonable price to give for this player in a trade?
Well, look, I mean, as I've been saying, and I'm sure you've noted today, it just doesn't make sense to me to trade for a player and give up a premium asset that you aren't guaranteed to have beyond 2019. And the way the rules are structured, you can't sign Jadeveon Clowney right now. You'd have to wait until after the season and either franchise tag him or then sign him to an extension. But you can't do that now during the season. And that goes for the Houston Texans or any other team. Now, even if you had an agreement, and sure, they could say, we have an agreement, and you feel good about it, I can get that. But that's a tough deal because you never know what happens and what changes between now and, you know, 16 regular season games. The player himself, he's a really, really good player. And, you know, if they didn't get Ed Oliver, I know they're not the exact same position. If they did not draft Ed Oliver, I'd feel a little different. But, you know, the Bills' defensive line with Ed Oliver gives you more of a pass rush than what you had. Jadeveon Clowney is an outside guy, but he can play inside. He can play up and down the line given different situations. I love him as a player. I loved him coming out of college. I think now he started off a little slow in his career, had some injuries. He's coming around now, so you're probably going to pay pretty premium price as far as a contract is concerned for him. And I would say, though, the Bills are a team that is going to need a guy like Jadeveon Clowney in the next couple of years. I don't think they necessarily have to get him right now. The way their roster is structured, he'd help them, of course. Mm-hmm. But Shaq Lawson, last year of his deal now. Trent Murphy, last year of his deal next year, had some injuries issues last year. Jerry Hughes, in his 30s now, signed what might be his last contract to stay in Buffalo for the next 3 years. So I think that as something he would be able to fit long term.
Yeah, I what I like about it, I don't want to say that I like this more than the player. I think the player is an excellent player, so I'm that's appealing. But I think because of the situation Houston is in, if I can buy low here, then I'm all about it. And I imagine that's what teams are trying to do, and maybe Houston's balking at that. But if it comes down to it and they have to sell him low because of his contractual status, and that makes a lot of sense to me, then I want to be all about it, you know? Do I have a lineman? Can I part with Ty Nsekhe? Like, does that appeal to you, the idea of doing that? Like, I know this is a veteran player that the Bills are counting on to help them this year, but he's 34 years old. He's not in the long-range plans. He could help Houston right now at a place that they need help at. Like, what do you think of that idea?
Oh, listen, if it only cost you Ty and Seki, I think that you make the deal like that, because you just can't pass up one of the top defensive players in the league for a guy who really was a backup lineman in Washington, even though he's going to be a starter for you. And I like Ty and Seki a lot, you know that, but you don't pass up on a guy like Jadeveon Clowney if that's the asking price. My assumption would be it would be more than that. Does it cost you Deion Dawkins, a younger player playing the left side? I think now we're starting to talk about what I just said a little while ago, which is, well, there's no guarantees here. Uh-huh. If it's straight up one for one, I know I got a guarantee to keep Clowney. I seriously even consider that because he's that great of a football player. But I would expect, even though you want to get him low, even though the Houston Texans are not in a good bargaining position, Bulldog, I would think that the price would still be pretty high as far as any types of players and or draft picks.
Okay. Yeah, my thought on starting at Nseki is including conditional picks if I do keep him longer than that. And maybe that's a first in 2020 or 2021. And like that's how I sort of make Houston whole if I end up keeping Clowney. If I don't, you know, well, then, you know, you shouldn't expect a lot in return for a player who's only under contract for 1 year.
No, that's right. That's a good point. You know, they can make these kinds of conditions if they want to do that. If we have to assign the player, then we'll get you this in return. If we don't, then you know, we're not going to give up anything extra. So that could be a way that you structure it. From anything I've heard today, though, just poking around, there is nothing to any reports that people may have heard or seen today. That doesn't mean that at the end of the day, something could happen. You know, we've heard a lot of, we've seen a lot of smoke tied to the Bills and Jadeveon Clowney now for a couple of months, right? And I think that really ramped up. It was even before Brian Gain was hired back in Buffalo, by the way. But even since Brian Gain's been hired, you know, that has ramped up. And I think people are connecting dots a little bit too much on that. I don't even know what the relationship would be there between Brian Gain and the organization and Jadeveon Clowney and him wanting to bring that player in or having any influence. And, you know, he's not an influential position necessarily in Buffalo anyway. He's, you know, a guy who's working in the front office. But I think people are connecting dots. I understand that. It could happen. You never know. The Bills are a team that has been rumored. They do have the salary cap space. It does seem like the type of player that could fit what they do. But as of right now, I have basically what I've been told is nothing is happening on that front.
The dots that I've connected on the Gain front is mostly this, that there was a report after Gain left the Texans and came back to the Bills that a key source of friction between Gain and Bill O'Brien, the coach in Houston, was Clowney's future, that Gain wanted to offer him a long-term contract and O'Brien didn't want to. So O'Brien won out. They didn't do that. They franchise tagged him, and that was a source of friction. So, you know, from that I derive, if that were accurate, I would assume that Gain is a big fan of the player.
Sure, probably. And maybe even Brandon Bean's a big fan of the player. Maybe Sean McDermott is, but I think you have to weigh a lot of things here. And look, one of the things Brandon Bean said to us in that long, you know, in the interviews when we talked about with him and the embargo stuff and, you know, that I was able to put out before camp was they just came from a really bad salary cap spot. He does not want to get back there. And I'm not telling you that he can't give out big contracts. Of course he can, but it is, he made it a point to say, look, I mean, like, we're trying to build it this certain way. We do not want to get back in the same spot we were just a couple of years ago. This is why we got here. And I think that would cause him to pause to think about this kind of money and the salary cap implications, at least.
Sal Capaccio is on the Wester hotline with us from Spartanburg, South Carolina. Just for a few more minutes, we're going to keep it short with Sal. He's got other things that are taking his attention, and we respect that. Let's get the full rundown from practice today. Well, actually, before we get to the full rundown, that's a part of it, though. Do you know why Ty Nseki was not practicing today?
I do not. He did practice in the beginning. He was there for individual position drills. I watched him. He had his equipment on, but then he never did any teamwork. He was off to the side. He was kneeling down. He was standing up. He had his equipment. But here's the good news. He was never with a trainer. So I don't know what happened. It could be a many number of things, but the good news is he wasn't with a trainer, so there's no report coming from the team, obviously. If he had left practice, you know, we would get an update on that, but he didn't. So, you know, we'll see where this goes and if he plays on Friday night.
Good. I appreciate the clarification. I didn't know if it was maybe a veteran day off, but the fact that he participated in individual stuff would indicate that maybe something else. And who knows? Maybe he just didn't feel good. But, okay, he wasn't held out entirely. He did participate early on.
That's correct. Now, Kurt Coleman didn't participate, and he didn't have anything on. And I don't know this, but it looked like a veteran rest type of day for me, to me. For him, I don't know that. officially, but that would have been a situation like that. But Ty Inseki did have his pads. He did participate in practice, and he was on the field for the entire practice. He just didn't line up in any work against the Carolina Panthers.
And did I get Mitch Morse doing a little bit more today, like some football-type related working out, like some snapping or something?
Yeah, early on, he was just kind of snapping the ball a little bit, in the kind of pre-practice type of setting. I guess it wasn't really even individual work. It wasn't with the offensive lineman, just kind of snapping the ball to the quarterbacks. I saw him running the field, doing what would look like gassers, I guess, but just doing some sprinting and running, so that's good. They need Mitch Morse healthy to figure things out here, and you know, he's a good player, but at the same time, the biggest thing is for me, aside from being a good player, Bulldog, is they got to figure out where these guys fit on the offensive line, because right now, John Feliciano, I think he's done pretty well at center, but they have to know who's going to play where, because they have to make cuts here and certain decisions in about 2.5-3 weeks.
Yep. So what else from practice? Let's put the wraps on that. Like, was there what stood out? What was notable?
Josh Allen had a good day today. I thought that the best part of his day for me was he got rid of the ball very quickly. He seemed to diagnose the defense, know where he wanted to go. He went there with it. He was generally on target most cases. I really liked that. You could see when he just kind of scanned the field, yelled a couple signals, and boom, ball's in his hands, boom, ball's out of his hands. Somebody's gaining 4 or 5 yards. It's funny. I was saying this to Joe DeLamelier. He was down there, and, you know, Joe lives in the Carolinas, mm-hmm. So he was at practice today, and we were watching it, and I said the exact same thing I just did to you, to Joe, and as soon as that happened, he threw just a little out pattern to, I think it was Zay Jones, might have been someone else, but I said, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, there was a good 6-yard gain. Just take what the defense is giving you. So that was really good to see. I thought the offense played well. On the flip side, the Bills defense, I thought, got eaten up a little bit by Cam Newton at times. Cam had a pretty efficient day from when I was watching, moved the team down the field pretty well. The Bills stopped him a couple of times, but there were a couple drives where it looked like Cam Newton was doing a pretty good job of, you know, completing passes, moving the team, and then there was a couple of breakdowns in coverage, and one led to a touchdown in the red zone.
Was there anything said about what is going to be the breakdown on Friday, or are we still a day away from finding out what the plan is with playing time?
Still waiting on that. We'll get that information most likely tomorrow and then into Friday, so pregame on Friday, we should have a handle on what the team is going to do on Friday. They're still working through those things. I think they wanted to see how everybody got out of these 2 days of practice first before kind of deciding on all that.
All right, Sal. Thanks a lot for this, man. We appreciate it, and we will look forward to talking with you again tomorrow, all right?
All right, bud. Talk to you later.
That is Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Coverage of Bills training camp, which Sal says effectively ends today. Like, that's it. This was the end of training camp. When they come back from Carolina, they're just practicing at the stadium. So coverage of Bills training camp, we hardly knew you. Here have been presented by M&T Bank, the official bank of the Buffalo Bills, and brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. So something that came up there, and it's been something a few people have mentioned on Twitter, and it's been on hold. It's a point that's been on hold, but I haven't gotten to the call, and I have time to do that really from here to the finish line. It's just us for the rest of the way here. Our guests are done for the day. So if you want to chime in here, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The big contract, right? The Bills just navigated through or navigated scorched earth their way through a cap mess, right? They divested themselves of some big name players, Darius, Sammy Watkins, that had big contracts, and there was dead money, especially with Darius, and so they had to pay a price for that, and so they're in the clear. And this year they approached free agency, I'd say smartly, I wouldn't say cautiously, because I don't know that they wouldn't have paid someone big money if it made sense, but they did not, with the exception of the Morse contract, really lay out anything that will stick to them for any amount of time in free agency. The receivers are all relatively easy to get out from under. The linemen are on short deals, again, with the exception of Morse. So there is no troubling contract on the horizon right now for the Bills, like that they already have in house. And I would want to say here that's the easy part. Getting rid of players who you don't like for whatever reason, or you like but you just don't like enough to have them count, you know, tens of millions of dollars against your cap, is like cleaning house is one thing. There will be a point here where the real hard work becomes paying guys, keeping guys, and adding guys that can really make a difference for your team. And I think that the Bills right now have enough flexibility that they could take on a Jadeveon Clowney contract if it even comes to that. It's not something that they would have to worry about in the short term anyway if they were to make this trade, because they can't do anything with him contractually until after next season anyways. But I would caution anyone against being scared of that. Like, the Bills are going to have to pay some of these guys, right? The idea of drafting and developing is eventually, like, if you get enough of those right, you probably can't keep all of them even. But you're going to have to pay some people. You're going to have to pay Tre'Davious White. You're going to have to pay, I mean, hell, you may have to pay Deion Dawkins. His contract's going to run out eventually. You want to have to pay Josh Allen. Like, you want to be in the position the Cowboys are in with Dak Prescott, to have to pay market rate for an accomplished, good quarterback in the league. So, like, I know all those things are coming, and maybe you want to tell me that's a reason why you don't go get Clowney, but, like, White is still another year down the road here. He's a first-round pick, so you've got a fifth-year option on him. He's only going into his third year. I've got some time there. Same with Josh Allen. Same with Tremaine Edmonds. I've got time, and I've got the room, and the player is excellent. So you cannot live life in the NFL being afraid to pay out contracts. Provided the guy checks enough of the boxes for you. But again, the appeal of the Clowney acquisition to me is that I'm not even making that commitment right now. There's really no way that I can, because I can't know, regardless of what the Bills could feel from Clowney or hear from Clowney or hear from Clowney's representation about the future, you don't pay a price to acquire an asset that you can't control. You just don't. So you don't even have to make this deal assuming you're going to pay him. You may make the deal hoping that you get the opportunity to pay him, at which point, of course, you do. And then you probably have to pay more assets on the back end of the deal in the form of some conditional draft picks that have been agreed to at the time of the trade. But I'm not going to accept that, oh, the Bills just got out of cap jail and now you want to put them right back in cap jail. Like, look, man, it's the NFL. You pay guys to perform, and the best guys make a ton of dough, and, you know, you don't want to be wrong, but you're going to have to dive in there. I think that, like, that's the tough part of the gig is finding your way to keep the good players that you've got on your team. Like, it's funny, like, we have not been for so long in a situation where, oh my gosh, I have to keep this player because I'm a contender. You know, like, the Bills have not been that for 20 years, you know? Despite making the playoffs 2 years ago, they were not a contender. And it's been kind of easy to just sort of sit back and not worry about this contract or that contract or paying this guy or paying that guy. You get good, you got to pay. And sometimes you got to pay to get good. And I just would not be scared off of whatever the demands are eventually on a contract that, frankly, I don't even have to deal with right now if I make this trade. Like, I can make this trade, I think, at a price that appeals to me, It's the only way I make it. I'm not paying a lot. I already told you, I'm not trading Deion Dawkins for this guy because I don't know that he's going to be on my team for more than a year. But if I do make a deal and there's conditional draft picks attached to it and Jadeveon Clowney performs like he's performed in Houston the last few years and I want to pay him and can pay him, I'm here to tell you, don't be afraid of that. I mean, that's how the league works. You got to pay eventually. Bottoming out, cleaning the cap is great. And even their approach to free agency this year, totally acceptable. But eventually, you're going to be back in the business of finding your way to keep it all together. Like, if it goes well. Like, if these people all don't get fired because the Bills aren't any good. Like, you're going to eventually want to pay some of these guys. And to me, Clowney would be right on that list if I acquire him. 803-0551, 888-552-550.
Most importantly, too, the point about how they're on they got a quarterback on a rookie contract.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, you should almost never have to think about how much you're paying guys like that, especially when you don't have a lot of bad contracts, when you have a quarterback on that rookie deal. Generally, teams don't really get in like a serious cap issue in the league. It's funny the Bills did end up there somehow when you don't have a quarterback that's being paid that much. Like, when you think about like who had to tear it down, like Seattle with Russell Wilson. Once they paid him, they couldn't keep the defense together. Why? Because they were paying Russell Wilson a ton of money. So you're not in that spot. I would not be that worried about paying him, even if it's that reported ask. If it's $20 million a year, like,
yeah,
I'm overpaying probably a little bit, but sometimes I'm just Buffalo, and if I want a star player like that, I have to be able to swallow that
yep.
once in a while.
That's where I'm at, man. I mean, you cannot be afraid of the cap. You know, like, this is not how it goes. I mean, the top teams in the league find out. They find ways to just make all that fit. And, yeah, there are tough decisions to make, and you sometimes have to end up divesting yourself of good players. Like, that's after you've won some stuff, some divisions and the playoff appearances. I'm nowhere on that front. So I'm just not ready to hear, like, oh, the cap. Just no. Please, don't worry about it right now. All right? Let's live a little bit. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Jadeveon Clowney, yay or nay, in a trade? What would you be willing to give up? What would you be willing to pay him to keep him? It's a part of this too, I suppose. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep has the day off. Sneaky Joe and Kyle are hanging out as well. This is WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jerry Hughes has been an incredible player in Buffalo. I mean, he wasn't that in Indianapolis, but he's found life. He is a handful. He is slippery. He gives players fits. I don't care what the name of the back of the jersey is. He is an elite player, and he plays all out. And that's what this team does. That's what this defense does. They play really, really hard. They tackle well. And I expect that to improve this year with better talent, especially inside.
That is Brian Baldinger. He was a guest this morning with our Jeremy White here on WGR, talking about Jerry Hughes and Ed Oliver and the D-line. Thanks for hanging with me today. I'm the Bulldog. Mike Schoep has the rest of the week off. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. I started up here at 3 o'clock. Said, like, let's just have an old-school football show here. We're talking about Jadeveon Clowney and whether or not the Bills should trade for him. And I got to tell you, people have come through. It's been kind of fun just hanging in here, just doing this really most of the day. Enjoying it. I hope you are out there listening, enjoying it as well. Let's fire it right back up. Fred will lead us off this segment. Hi, Fred. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it very much.
I'm calling just to let you know we're calling out of Charleston, South Carolina.
All right.
Our family's originally from Buffalo, but just wanted to keep you posted that our college team is the South Carolina Gamecocks, where Jadeveon had actually played football at.
Yep. This is the second Gamecocks fan from a transplanted Buffalonian Gamecocks fan that's called into the show today. So it's nice to hear from you, Fred.
Well, I will tell you, we'll be at the game and we will be on the Bills side and we'll be representing proudly.
All right.
Against the Panthers on Friday. But what I will say is Jadeveon Clowney, he has got such a Bruce Smith type of feel that when you are there and you need him to make a play, he will make that play. Obviously, when he did the hit heard around the world, knocking the Michigan player's helmet off, basically, the coach told him we needed the football back to win the game. He did exactly that. So what I would say is every bit worth the trade. The question is what value you want to get the trade at. And unfortunately, can you get him before going to free agent? And what do you have to give up to sacrifice is the aim game. I think he's gotten through his injury issues, but I definitely think he's definitely worth the trade.
All right. Good to hear from you, Fred. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, the price is, again, I may be like overstating it. Because I don't want to say the price is all of it, because the player, acquiring the player is that's the prize, right? But the situation that the Houston Texans find themselves in with this player is that they franchise tagged him. They couldn't reach agreement on a long-term contract by the mid-July deadline to do that with a franchise tag player. He's not signed the franchise tender yet. He's not there with the team. And so the way it works in the league is because that deadline passed in mid-July, the Bills or the Eagles or any other team that's interested in acquiring Jadeveon Clowney can only do so knowing that they have him under contract for this season. That has to limit what the Houston Texans can expect to get in return in that trade. So it's possible, like Sal, I vibe very much from Sal that he thought Ty and Secchi, as the main piece of the trade was too little, and like I don't know, maybe that's right, maybe it's not because of the 1 year nature of this. If you acquire this player and then can reach a long term agreement with him beyond this season, well, fine, attach conditional draft picks. There's no guarantee you would have that done by the time this draft comes around, so it might have to be 2021. And I'm open to going big there. If that means a first-round pick for this player along with Nsekhe, again, conditionally, the condition being he signs a long-term contract with me. It's a part of the reason it's funny. Like this was percolating, I don't know, like a month or so ago maybe. Right around the time, I don't know, when did Gain rejoin the Bills? Like, it was weird that they fired him when they did, Houston. This is Brian Gain, who worked with the Bills under Brandon Bean, then left and went to work for the Houston Texans, was their GM for about 18 months, and then they fired him. And the timing of it was weird. It was a weird point in the offseason to make that move, but they did it. And I remember hearing about how one of the sources of friction within the Texans organization was that Gain favored a long-term contract for Clowney and O'Brien didn't, the head coach. So they franchised him, and that was that. And it started to feel to me, I remember having this conversation on the air with Mike, like probably nothing happens because the Texans might be crazy to sell that low on Jadeveon Clowney. Might be smarter for them to just sort of stand their ground, wait for this player to show up this year, sign that tender and play this year, and then figure it out next year. Let him leave. You get a third round pick or something as compensation if he leaves, or you franchise him again and you do this dance, or you try to trade him earlier in the offseason when a team acquiring him can negotiate a long-term contract with him, and then you get fairly compensated. So, here we are, fast forward, you know, another month or so has gone by, if my timeline is correct there. It feels close, anyway. And You've got John McClain, who covers the Houston Texans, a longtime NFL reporter, says he'd be very surprised if they did not trade Clowney. They need help on the O-line, and his sense is that it's going to happen. Well, there goes the idea that they won't do it because they're selling low. They're still selling low, and I think I can capitalize on that. They don't have a GM right now. The coach might be a little temperamental. So take advantage of that. You know, that's why I say, like, the big point of entry for me, the big part of the appeal in this idea lies in, I think I can get a steal in the trade. And, boy, I want to be on the other end of that. If Houston is going to do something that is not in their best interest, hey, raise your hand. I want to be the beneficiary of that. So I think there's a good chance whoever makes this trade with them, if they do trade him, Houston, whoever makes this trade with the Texans is going to come out really, you know, in good shape, because they're going to be getting an excellent player, and I don't think Houston should be able to extract max value. So that's a big part of it to me. Mark is up next on WGR. Hi, Mark. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Bulldog. So this has got multiple appealing fingers to it. I would think a guy like Clowney with his speed and his pass rush would be something that a guy like McDermott would just drool over. So, you know, he's an appealing guy from that standpoint. The Bills clearly, we don't know exactly what happened with Antonio Brown, but they were going to have to write a check for that talented guy on some level. So I suspect that they realize that there's going to be a financial cost to this. What I would try and do, and it might be, you know, one of the other possible rivals, but Trent Williams, a Pro Bowl tackle for the Redskins who wants out badly, and I'm pretty sure is signed for a couple of years, mm-hmm. You might be able to pry him out of the Redskins for a second and a fourth or something, and then if you could flip him and maybe Shaq Lawson over there so they replace their DN, give them a Pro Bowl tackle under contract, and it might only cost you Shaq Lawson, who's off this year's roster, who's going to be gone next year anyway, and let's say you can get him for a second and a fourth from get Williams from that, they might be willing to take a couple of reasonably high picks for an older tackle. Houston might bite on that.
Why wouldn't Houston just trade Clowney for Williams themselves?
Well, that's a possibility, and Dan Snyder loves to make the big financial splash, and
yeah.
He goes for the headlines over smart decisions, so I think that's a realistic possibility. I'm not discounting that at all.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, maybe trying to tap into whatever Houston Bills connection there is there and take
yep.
advantage of Bill O'Brien, who's kind of an acting GM who might make kind of a stupid move, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there might be a way to do that. And I don't think Washington could offer them a defensive lineman the quality of Shaq Lawson, and that might be enough to sweeten the pot.
All right, Mark, thank you. Appreciate the creativity and the different approach there. You also could consider, well, I don't know. I don't want to trade Deion Dawkins.
Trade Dawkins and then trade for Trent Williams.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That did that light bulb go off in your head
yeah, exactly.
at the same time?
I thought that's where he was.
While the caller was talking, I was like,
yeah.
Okay, well, maybe. But, man, I don't know. How old is Williams? He's under contract for a couple of years.
31.
Okay.
It's older. And he's good.
Yeah, he is good.
Like, I don't have to worry about him coming in and like, oh, will he bounce back? Because Dawkins was a little...
Yeah. I don't hate that. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. Although, I mean, that's a lot. That's a second and a fourth. I mean, whatever. The guy's just spitballing here. But if that's what it costs to get Trent Williams, and then I'm trading Dawkins, and I've got Clowney...
I think the guy that's worried about the cap will be not liking that idea whatsoever.
Because Williams is making like a bajillion dollars, isn't he?
Yeah. He's making, well, about $15 million a year. For a left tackle, it's not that bad, but it's a lot.
Right. Yeah. The cap, man. Like, don't be – it always goes up. Yeah. A part of me feels like, well, like, I'm gonna squash the thought I had. I just have some discretion. I think worrying about the cap is not where you should be. The teams always figure out a way to make it work. So and the Bills are a clean sheet right there, and you don't even know when you make the trade whether or not you have to commit to Clowney. You really, he gets to try you on. Guess what you get to do? You get to try him on too. And that's, you know, that's that to me, that's entirely reasonable. 803-0550. Good calls. Thank you. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Talking about a potential Jadeveon Clowney trade. It seems like a lot of people covering the NFL think the player is going to be traded. You want the Bills to be in on it or not? That's what we've been talking about most of the day. Mike Schoep has the day off. I'm the Bulldog. This is WGR. Sorry. The look I'm getting from Joe right now is just perfect. What do you want here? The garage door read? You just asked me to do something. I said, okay. You know what? I got distracted. Do it again. Remember that day when I was starting the show with Sal and I was trying to get the TV on the channel I wanted, even though I'm not going to watch the TV? I was just doing that again.
Oh, right.
So you asked me to do something. I said, sure. And then I got distracted trying to get the channel I wanted on the TV, even though I'm not watching the TV. I don't know how I survive. I mean, honest to God. Hamburg Overhead Doors Ugliest Garage Door Contest finalists are in, by the way. This is what Joe wanted me to tell you about. Cast your vote for the worst one by August 18th at WGR550.com or text DOOR to 550-550 to get a link to your... To get a link to vote sent to your phone, excuse me. Message and data rates may apply. Your vote enters you for a chance to win a LiftMaster garage door opener. So all you have to do is vote and you have a crack at that. That sounds pretty nice. Again, WGR550.com's got details on that as well. 803-0550. Sorry for the distraction of me not being able to concentrate. Back to the phones. Greg is next up. Hi, Greg. Thanks for calling. You are on WGR.
Hey, what's going on, Bulldog? Hey, real quick on this Clowney thing. I love the idea if it's somebody that's going to put us over the edge for the next coming season. I mean, the only thing I worry about is if the reports are correct and he's looking at 5 years at north of $20 million a year, you're paying Josh Allen in 3 years, you're paying Tremaine Edmonds in 3 years, you're paying Tre'Davious White in 2 years. I mean, I know next year we're set up pretty well with the cap like we were this year, but you know, just projecting out like any other NFL general manager would do.
Mm-hmm.
You got to fit all those numbers in. If this is a guy that's going to put us over the edge for this year, absolutely. I'd go all in, be bold, do what you got to do. But, you know, you're paying this guy north of $20 million, if that's correct.
Yeah, sure. No, I would expect to have to pay him top dollar. Yes. Like if he wants to stay here and the Bills want to keep him, then, yeah, I think you're going to have to pay him. And look, you're going to have other guys that are making money right now that are going to be moving off the books as you go through this. And like, I might be naive to think this, but I'm not that worried about it. Like, I think I'll find my way. I think, like, I started to say it before, and I mean, this idea that the cap is like some jail sentence. Like, whatever the Bills did with the cap, yes, a different GM signed players, but the Bills brought that on themselves. So, you know, you have to do this assuming Brandon Bean would not sign Jadeveon Clowney to a contract that he doesn't feel good about. Like, is there any guarantee that you wouldn't blow it? Of course not. I mean, it's sports. That happens. I am going to refuse. I mean, absolutely 100% refuse to live my life as a sports fan worrying about signing great players to big contracts. And like, oh no, what about the cap? I haven't won, man, I want to swear so bad. I haven't won anything in my kids' lifetimes in this town. Nothing. Don't worry about the cap, okay? They're clean on the cap. I'm not making fun of the caller. Okay? Like, I'm grateful that you called. Thank you for listening. Really, I mean it. This whole concept is just like, I had to cut Marcell Dareus, and I had to pay this penalty, dead cap, and all. Oh my God. Grow a set, sign some guys, and win some freaking games before I'm dead. How's that? That's my plan. My plan is to sign some great players. That's my process. You want my process? Sign some difference makers on both of these teams. Win some, there's the swearing again, games. Hang a banner or two somewhere. And then tell me about the cap. Oh, the cap. It's like the selling the farm thing from 2 years ago with the draft. Don't worry about the cap. The Bills have been a joke for all of Joe's life. Don't worry about it, okay? It's an excuse. Don't be afraid. It's okay. You can sign great players. You can keep them on your team. Lots of teams do it. They win and win and win. That's how it works. All right. I guess that was bound to happen. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. I didn't swear.
Close, though.
Yeah.
I was ready.
Thank you. You could feel it coming. All right, we'll take some more calls. We're just hanging out. You know, don't be scared. I'm not gonna yell at you. Just, you know, sometimes it just blows. All right, we'll. You see what I did there? 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. I'm the Bulldog. Mike has the day off. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.